Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You got it!
It's time for episode 618 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have passed Checkpoint Pumpkin on the road to summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. What's up, Stard?
How's it going? Happy Halloween.
Thank you so much. You know,
how was your Halloween, I should say?
It was semi-uneventful, okay. But I do have a story, and I'm going to tell it to you on Two Charted.
That's right awesome. On. Well, if you want to hear that story, make sure you subscribe on whochartedpod.com.
There you go.
We're already upselling listeners on the free feed, but
right on.
That's where you got to go.
Well, you were a bored ape. I know we're going to get that story too on Two Charted, but great costume. You texted that. It was no store-bought generic costume. It was like, you know, you could tell the love went into it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Like, thanks for noticing. It was a Wes Anderson,
like attention to detail.
Hell yeah. I like hearing that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. And congratulations. You didn't need any spiked candy or anything like that?
No, I almost wish. I was like hoping for like I went to a couple parties, but it was like hoping for more wildness or something to happen. You know what I mean?
All right. But I mean, you didn't nothing, you know, malicious. Nobody put a razor blade in your apple.
No, no fentanyl, no razor blades. Right on. You know, just standard alcohol.
Congrats on that. Hey, we actually got some bad news came in today and some other stuff earlier in the week, but RIP to Takeoff from Migos. We lost him. It was at a bowling alley party in Houston, and he got shot down there.
Oh my God.
28 years old. And how about, I mean, Migos, we've been talking about them for a long time, since probably 2015, 2016. We've been talking about them almost weekly.
Called them like the Beatles of hip hop at one point or something like that. I mean, they were like a big deal.
Yeah, they called themselves that too, Bad and Bougie. But hey, we got to get our guest in to talk about these topics.
For sure.
Here he comes now. You know him as A Bro Bro on Instagram, and from his appearances right here on Who Charted, super funny and hilarious, Brody Reed.
That's right. I'm back.
Funny and hilarious.
What's up, my boys?
Good to see you.
I missed you.
Good to have you back. Missed you too.
You guys hyper off that candy? I know I am.
Yeah, yeah. What were you eating? What was your main go-to? Oh,
man, everything. Three Musketeers. Getting the nougat in there. Getting some Almond Joys. I eat a lot of grandma candies.
Pass. Pass.
Right
on. You like the coconut?
I do. I do like coconut. Unfortunately, I do, yeah.
I do not. You guys can have those.
Hey, Peter Paul, Almond Joys got nuts. Mounds don't. Do you remember that? You guys are too young.
No, I remember that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going with Snickers, and I was going with Hershey's, and I was also going with the adage that it's better to eat more candy than you give away. And I did that. I basically, I don't get trick-or-treaters over here, so
yeah,
it was, you know, I self-bought it.
I'm never home. I'm out trick-or-treating. I'm out, filling my bag.
Were you in costume?
I was Pee-wee Herman for Halloween.
Nice.
I bought a very expensive suit that looks, it's the same pattern as Pee-wee. I went to Zara first. I was like, I'm going to get a way cheaper version of this, and couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. None of my size. So I had to go to Express for Men, and I found it at Express for Men.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Invested.
Which place had the faster escalator?
That'll be Del Amo Fashion Center down in Torrance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Is that still there?
You know it.
Nice.
Staple of the neighborhood.
They had the only Chick-fil-A in town before they put that one on Highland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with people, like the new world of trick-or-treating is so different that I didn't realize the new rules. Like, apparently now, this is why nobody gets trick-or-treaters anymore. There are like designated streets that all the parents know about and like call out officially. And so you all take your kids to just those streets.
There are rules, you get up front.
If you just go to some random street, there just won't be any houses available. So,
well, like, I guess it's just like they feel like that might be riskier or
it's like political
harder or whatever. It's just like now there's like designated neighborhoods
through social media or neighborhood apps. Like, these are the streets you go to.
Yeah. Or just parents like talking, you know, and then,
I mean, if you're not scouting your neighborhood for the houses you want to hit the day before anyway, you're not even really trick or treating.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Case but the like, joint.
We used to just, you know,
do a little recon.
We used to strategize ourselves as kids, like, okay, which streets do we think might be good? And then you just hit those and hope for the best.
Go to the rich neighborhoods.
But then they have the parents now, they come out with the tables now on their front yards.
Yikes.
And they're standing there like, PTA meeting or something.
It's like a block party. They just go with tables and you go
and then
to
these. There's rules like, okay, every kid gets 3 pieces of candy as you go down this block. Like, there's neighborhood rules. And then the parents take all the kids. So it's like,
can't
you got your parents
with
you now.
It's Trick-or-treat
isn't
anymore. Even on the board anymore. You can't even pretend.
That's only,
you're right. Hey, you know, I saw the parents were walking around with their phones, and I was like, well, they could just be on their phones because they're bored or that everybody's just on their phone. But then I was like, it might be that they're going on an app or something to say, like, these are the houses that are actually participating in Halloween. Like, okay, now we walk over around here and they're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys downloaded Treater? The new app?
Is that it? Treater?
You swipe right on the candy you want?
Yeah. It's basically the same thing as, like, what's that, Nextdoor?
Right.
Nextdoor.
That's what people
use. The thing is, like, I kind of like the lottery system we had as kids where it's like, you don't know if that house is going to chase you off the lawn.
Exactly. Right. It's scary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like, you don't know whether you're going to run into some bullies and have to like run away from them.
Exactly.
It's like, it's just like
Halloween should be the most dangerous night for kids. And I think they need that to grow up.
Yeah. I mean, we're scared of them when they come around now.
Exactly.
I mean, they might as well be scared of us.
And the best you got, which made it even scarier, was like, hey, be aware that they're putting razor blades in apples. Okay, go ahead. Go out there.
Yeah, but go out tonight. Yeah.
You go out there, you might encounter some razor blades, but just be careful of that.
Yeah, and it's dark
you're
out.
Like, what the fuck?
It's dark out, so you might not see the razor blade.
So. Right. So just take a bite. You know, if it hurts, you know, spit it out.
How great would it be if you, like, you walked into a haunted house, but, like, there was no indication it was a haunted house. It was just, like,
it was just a nice,
the door
is
kind
house.
Of open. And you're like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a whole crew of people wait for just, like, three kids to walk in a night, but they give them, like, the most scary night ever. That'd be so sick.
Right. Yeah,
it's a horror.
That's the flaw of haunted houses, those ghosts. They should really, like, inhabit some nice-looking, clean, well-lit places so you don't know it's haunted.
Exactly. Well, that's what Scare Tactics was all about. I did a few episodes of it, and
one of the best shows ever.
People got so scared, I'm sure they're still traumatized to this day.
Yeah. Man, I love that show.
Good to be careful.
I'm always amazed that you were on that.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Hey, and also one other RIP. This just ties in with Halloween. But Dead Kennedys has a song called Halloween, and it's about how you know, every 364 days a year, people have their business costumes and their social costumes on. It was an indictment of society. Like, why do you get dressed up on Halloween? You're fake every other day, too. A great song.
Interesting.
But you had just informed me. I didn't know about this, but RIP to D.H. Pellegrino, the drummer from the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, really sad, really tragic. He just had, like, he fell in his house, apparently, and it killed him.
Wow.
Was he
dressed like Humpty Dumpty or anything? Or
my
Halloween related accent?
Oh my God, Brody, too soon. Oh my God.
What? Or dressed as a
Humpty
Kennedy.
Dumpty died a long time ago.
if you're in a band called Dead Kennedys, I guess it's just like you should expect that people are going to make insensitive jokes about you dying.
Yeah,
for sure.
Do unto others. But I'll tell you, I saw them three times. He was the drummer on all three of them. And the word that comes to mind is incendiary.
Nice.
Ooh.
Fucking good word.
Just a good word.
He was an animal back there.
He's an animal.
In a really smart band and a really cool band to have such a powerful, you know, off the hinge drummer. Mm-hmm. So
he was in the Chili Peppers for like one period.
Yeah. Wow. That's right. Yeah. After that.
It's like a forgotten
that's crazy.
Era.
Yeah, they're a weird period Peppers. For sure.
Yeah.
But the Dead Kennedys were kind of like the Who in that they had a very, like, at every position, there's a great guitarist, great bass player, great front man, great drummer. So,
love
very
those
cool.
bands.
Yeah.
Oh, Brody's got a cat.
Yep.
Yeah. Whoa,
crawling
look at that.
On him.
Ooh, how Halloweenish.
Yeah. She's not black, but almost. She's dark brown.
What's her name?
Space Ghost.
Nice.
Space Ghost, nice. Yeah.
Right on. Do you have a copy of Space Ghost on DVD?
I don't actually. They're online, but you know, it's not the same.
Oh, they are? Okay. I've seen a beautiful VIP package. All right, RIP to everybody, and we'll celebrate their music as we
Absolutely.
Discuss them throughout the weeks. And let's listen as I wrap the history of recorded music for the music chart. Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes.
Dead Kennedys.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
Run that back. No, all right. So, well, what music chart do we have this week?
All right. So last week, I got to confess, like, I kind of finagled the chart a little bit to avoid
T
Swift. Like
chart confession.
Like I was honest to the charts, but I sort of made sure we diversified it a little bit.
Yeah, you actually you were transparent about that up front. We mentioned that on the show
this week. I think also just because it's a big news story, we got to just face head on this T Swift avalanche.
Okay.
Which is that Taylor Swift like hit a record apparently this week that she has all 10 slots on the Billboard top 10 songs.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Right, wow. Which was previously held by, I'm forgetting. But someone, Drake.
Drake.
Drake had like nine or something.
Yeah, this and probably wasn't possible back in the day.
It wasn't possible because now it's a little bit like gamified, I think, with streaming. Yes. And they release singles on purpose just to get this kind of.
Yeah, totally. Because she had, this album had 13 songs. And like right after she released the album, she dumped another 7 songs that she said were made on the road to the album. So it's just about getting a whole bunch of tracks when the iron is hot, striking while
the iron. Totally.
But anyway, there's no question. It's the biggest album drop in a long time. And I have the Spotify chart in front of me and she's just dominating it with one exception, which we will here shortly.
Oh, Billboard right there.
So coming in at number 5.
Number 5.
Taylor Swift with Maroon. I see you every
day now. This one's got to be about Adam Levine.
Yeah. And it's number 5.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, New York.
New York.
That could be Gyllenhaal. That could be Mayor de Blasio. Oh, man, who is she talking about?
Rudy Giuliani.
Wow, yeah, these Easter eggs.
Oh, did you guys see that TikTok of the guy who was determining whether or not the tracks on her album were produced by Jack Antonoff? Yeah,
yes, loved it. Yeah. That's by his fun. Hatred That's of the production Jack style. Sure. Yes. I mean, that probably helped these sales, too. I mean, it was just another unintentional viral moment there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he did this whole album, right? I'm pretty sure this is the most first time she just used him for the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe most.
I think it's like 80%.
That guy was calling out certain tracks that weren't, so I think there might have been a couple that just, they sound like it, but they're not him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
the tracks that wake you up a little bit are not him. Yeah.
Hey, so I wonder, what are your guys' opinions on why this one is so big?
This particular song?
Or no, just like, why is this album this big right at this moment?
Taylor Swift has created just like an entire anthology of like white women essentials. And when I say that, I mean like for everyone else to know what white women are all about too. You know what I mean? It's like now, it's just, it's kind of like, you know, she's the Beyonce, you know what I mean? It's like,
she's defining them.
Yeah. You have to listen to this just to understand like the rest of the culture now. It's just become that big of a wave. And she was already that for the last couple albums that she put out.
Right.
Especially the one she put out during the pandemic. That one went crazy for some people.
So how did she survive? It just seemed like there was backlash at her and there was like a point where people were going like enough already and you're kind of fake. And then it just seemed like that all just went away and then she got even
I think
bigger.
She just was just like, fuck you. And I'm going to write a bunch more songs. I think that's kind of, she's like,
I think for this one,
equivocally, a song.
She's unfuckable with because she writes so much in a way.
You're right.
Yeah.
This one too, I think like, the last Folklore things felt like a little bit of her being like, hey, I'm going to put out some folk albums, which like you may or may not be into. And then this one felt like, hey, I'm doing like a proper new album
it's
now.
It's back to what you and, like. But then like also 1979 like
the build up to this one 89. Has been insane with like this fervent fan base picking apart clues and it has this concept to it. And so they're all convinced, all the white women are all convinced that like she's about to drop some earth-shattering news about herself with this album.
Right. Did you guys see the photo of her standing in front of like the like inspirational words that she like wanted the album to like represent?
No.
It was so funny.
It's crazy shit.
But it's white lady QAnon, and they're just all in there looking for clues. And
And everything then it's fun everything feels a little bit like it's fun for them, but everything feels a little bit like pretending like this hasn't been ever done before. Like, this is the first actual music album that's ever come out.
Right.
And then, like...
Yeah, like, no one's ever been so obsessive.
Yeah, like, these songs are like, mean something about her life, you know?
Listen, but, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was at that, like, teenage age when Nelly's Hot in Here came out, and I was like, this is the best song ever written of all time.
Right.
I'm glad to be alive right when it happened. I just think, you know,
it that's true.
It means a lot to other people.
That, you have the sense that, wow, I'm happen to be right here at the best time in music history.
If Fleetwood Mac's Rumors came out and I was like a, you know, 16-year-old, I'd be like, it never got better than this. God. You know what I mean?
I mean, we talked about that on the charts, but Fleetwood Mac in particular, if they were a band now for these young kids to pick apart their interpersonal things, they would be huge.
Like, yeah, for sure.
The drama is off the...
It's like if T-Swift was in a band with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right. With all her boyfriends.
With all of them.
With all of them.
Yeah, and like Ben Affleck.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck were in it.
Right.
Apparently, like, there was a almost like a QAnon theory that she was going to come out on this album. Like, she was going to be come out as gay.
They wish.
Right.
Which felt like a little bit, to me, it felt a little bit, like, weird and outdated. Like, why would that even be?
She would have done that way before. That
as this
I was going to say, if she had that card to play, she would have played it so much earlier than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would almost be like slightly offensive to put it on that big of a pedestal. Like, you know, for T-Swift herself.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, she's got like a cult thing now.
But well, we've exhausted that topic. Let's see who's at number four.
Yeah. Well, number four is the exception. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Sam Smith, Kim Petras with Unholy.
Wow.
It's aggressive.
That
what's
sucks.
The original?
That's
what's
terrible.
The original?
Putting that to like a circus beat and the worst lyrics of all time.
Do you guys think of Body Shop on Sunset Strip? Because, you know, that's the first lyric. Something at the body shop.
I'm thinking about my car. I'm thinking about when I got to take it in, get that dent out.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Right. That song, though, like you were saying,
she might, you know, play the gay card. Like, you know, both of those artists, you know, are out, I guess. You know, I mean, that's like, you know... They made that's that the decision. Reality. They came to that fork in the road.
I'm sorry to the gay community that they don't have better representation.
Yeah, what's a up? They only have one slot. They could, you know, all four of the. As a community, they're getting beat by one girl. But hey, they've given us a lot of great tracks. There'll be plenty more.
Sure. Coming in at number three.
They'll take the charts back over soon. Number three.
T-Swift, Midnight Rain.
Whoa.
Pain, he wanted a comfortable, I wanted that pain. He wanted a bride, I was making my own name. Chasing the pain, he's the same. All of me changed like midnight.
Interesting.
My town was a wasteland, full of cages, full of...
Who was that other guy?
I think that was her voice.
I think that was still her.
Yeah.
I liked when she sounded drunk. That was fun.
Yeah.
I wish the whole song was like that. It's like a Radiohead feature or something.
Yeah.
Give me some White Claws. But sounded also like, you know, the FBI when they muffle the voice and all that.
Oh, yeah. She's a witness protection. This weekend, speaking of like Halloween music, I saw Danny Elfman at Hollywood Bowl.
And oh, wow.
That was an incredible show. You got like, I cannot say enough good things. That it was just crazy. He did all tons of Oingo Boingo. He took his shirt off.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like a gremlin. He's like a buff gremlin now with wow. a full of tats.
And, oh, interesting.
But it was insane set list, insane band. It was really, really cool. And I didn't even realize he has never really done actual solo shows before. Like as a almost like a solo artist doing his whole career.
Yeah, I think that one at Coachella was like he's just like he the first Coachella. Time he ever did it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly had no idea he looked like this.
Really?
Yeah. Neither did I. That's awesome. Well, he hasn't looked like this ever before. He's just debuted like a new body.
I mean it's
year.
A lot like Carrot Top.
Yeah, because when
he
I think
just
of him
started
he's...
as one thing and then became the buff version of it.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Piscopo did it, Carrot Top.
Yeah, this is such a funny rhymes. Turn. I love it.
Timbaland. It's great. Yep.
It's super funny. But that okay. speaking but of Pee-wee, Grinch, by the way, he did the Pee-wee theme at one point. But it was
damn
it's
right.
just so crazy. He even like, which was kind of a banger live, by the way. Just going down, 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 you know, like you just kind of want to mosh to that.
That's
but
awesome.
It's crazy to hear like
him and Mark Mothersbaugh are my gods.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
such
crazy to hear
ton
like
the music they put
the
out.
The last mm-hmm. note of a Boingo song just going straight into like a Spider-Man theme, going straight into this
wow.
like super dark, challenging like Nine Inch Nails
cool.
style song. And it's like this whole set list
moods.
Makes no sense, but
hell
it's insane
yeah.
that this is just one guy's career, you know?
Did he do Party at Ground Zero?
Yes. I think he did do that.
Dead Man's Party.
He did do Dead saw. Man's Party, yeah. It was amazing.
Man. I want to
right
be drugs at that. That sounds so.
He did Beetlejuice too, didn't he?
He did do Beetlejuice, yeah. Yeah, it was great. It's weird because his style for music or for movies and TV soundtracks is so identifiable. Like, you know exactly it's Danny Elfman and he uses these like these certain scales
right.
and stuff you recognize. But then his own music doesn't necessarily sound like that. Like he has a whole different style for his own stuff.
Are you accusing him of using Ghost Riders? You're saying it's not him?
Yeah, it's like Shakespeare for music.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he's versatile, and that's great. And what a perfect thing to do for Halloween.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
I want to be him for
Brody,
Halloween.
Brody, you said you did some shows?
Yeah, I did shows. You know, I'm a spooky guy. I'm the goth guy, so I did like 4 shows this week. I headlined at the Chatterbox on Sunday. That was super fun.
Oh, nice.
Fun.
How was that?
It was awesome. I was dressed like Pee Wee Herman for most of those shows.
All right.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Are you going to return the suit now that Halloween has passed?
It was so, I know I'm going to keep it. I'm going to tailor it. I did keep the tags on for the first show and then I was just like, nah, I'm going to keep it. It's too good of a
find. It's
a
part of you
it's
now.
Like the perfect pattern. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I still got to get the shoes though. I just wore white Chucks.
That's funny. Speaking of Taylor.
Pee-wee, why not?
Coming in at number 2.
Number 2.
Taylor Swift with Lavender Haze.
Bonk, gank, bonk.
That is crazy. It's just another way of saying Purple Haze.
I think if you listen to the very beginning of the song, I think they're aping that.
Really? All right, I'm going to the
front. Like when it first starts, it's...
Did she name it Purple Haze?
Yeah.
That offends me.
I think...
Wait, this is the beginning. How is this Purple Haze? That's you.
No.
But it's got that same. I'm talking about that beat in the beginning. That's how Purple Haze begins.
Well, I know that, but that's not what this song is doing.
But I'm saying if you were Taylor Swift, right? And you make these little like gossipy little jams for teen girls.
Yeah.
I could see you listen to Purple Haze and it just comes out that tepid. You know what I mean? Like on the way to Anthony's kick house, drum. She heard Purple Haze.
I've always said she's the Danny Elfman of white women. I've always said that.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. It's like telephone and it just comes out like that by the time she's done with it. Yeah.
It's like she heard her dad playing Purple Haze from like a couple doors down in the house. You just hear like a muffled kick drum.
Yeah. And then hers comes out the Purple Haze.
Lavender Haze.
It's cool.
Someone should do a mashup.
They really should.
Yeah. But that is that one's deserving of number two. Like that one's more of a banger than the three and five, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Taylor Swift, Anti-Hero.
Always rooting for the anti-hero.
I think that's the reason the song's number one.
That line?
You got to hear the sexy baby song.
Yeah.
The sexy baby song.
Yeah, this is like the therapy song. Like,
yeah.
It's like a therapy anthem. She's like, I'm the problem. I got to look at my problems.
Yeah, it feels Alanis Morissette-ish in that way.
Yeah, good call.
Feels like Rilo Kiley if they took Molly.
Nice. Oh, yeah. If she had a million personal problems. But yeah, that one's a definite banger. Jumps out at you. That sounds like the hit.
Sexy baby, for sure.
Sexy baby. We're sexy babies. Let's play that at our bachelorette party. Yeah.
It's still very calm, you know? It's like, I haven't heard one yet that's like shake it off or whatever.
They're all like 110 BPM and stuff, like the whole album.
Yeah, that's calm. Crank it up.
Calm.
What was the one she had with the whips? Give it to me now. Like she was, she was riling things up a few albums ago.
She's comfortable now.
I only
She's like
know
comfortable
Shake It Off.
Going to therapy.
It's the only song.
That's
I know.
It.
Yeah, the horn version too. Before she changed it.
Hey, you're a purist.
Yeah.
OG T Swift.
Love brass and pop.
Hell yeah.
Well, congrats to her. I mean, she's dominating in a big way. It looks like it's going to be her Christmas. She'll dominate the holiday season. Unless that Backstreet Boys album we played last week really
goes on a big upswing. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
They put out a Christmas album. Check
it
out. Yeah. Well, right on. And we will be right back with the movie chart.
Greetings, Chartists. I'm here to tell you about Factor. They're sponsoring today's episode, and I am a big fan of Factor. I've been subscribing myself to their meal service, and I love it. So I'm not just a podcaster, I'm a client. So eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're not lying right there. Every single meal is 2 minutes flat in the microwave. I wouldn't even mind going for 3 minutes. I mean, I have a spare minute, but no. 2 minutes, you're good. It's hot. It's delicious. It's fresh tasting. I don't know how they do it. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I think I'm on the Protein Plus. I love it. And it feels like no two meals are alike. There's a lot of options there. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I actually haven't taken advantage of that yet. I'm excited to. That sounds great. I have had some of their drinks. They got some like smoothies and like cold brew lattes. They're delicious and they're just perfect on the go, super quick. I often forget to eat. I got all these podcasts I'm making, recording, editing. Oops, I'm all of a sudden starving. I have no time to eat. And Factor has been a godsend for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. And if you're looking for something even more gourmet, try these premium ingredients they have, like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Wow, this is giving me all sorts of ideas to upgrade my next delivery. So it's no fuss, no mess meals. Totally eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave and it's so good. And the textures are all right. It's not like microwave dinners of old that are like encrusted onto the plastic. No, this feels like somebody made this dinner from scratch for you and just put a little plastic over it. It's fully ready to heat up and serve. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. I had to take a couple weeks off at one point. It was super easy to go to the website, just skip a week here and there. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. You say it's your Earth Day. Well, happy Earth Day to you. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. That's pretty cool. So head to factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 and use code WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Wow. That's code WhoCharted50 at factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest,
Ayo Bro Bro.
Ayo Bro Bro.
And B Momo.
Oh, nice. And B Momo.
Yeah.
And this is the movie Cho-Cho chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, movies.
We're back. Right on. Well, Taylor Swift at all five positions on the movie chart. No?
Yeah.
She has done movies. She was in Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
She was in Cats.
That's right, yeah.
She's been in
I mean, she's directing like her own music videos now for like all of her songs.
Okay.
I think a Taylor Swift like directed movie is probably
can't
gonna
be far behind. Mm. Yeah. Right.
Was she in a Marvel Girl? No, that was Brie Larson.
Larson.
Wait, wasn't she in like Trolls or something? Like voice acting?
Yeah,
and,
maybe
like,
a voice in Trolls. Good call. Did some animation stuff.
Boss Baby 2
right.
or something.
Boss Baby.
So these are the top five at the box office this last weekend. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Halloween Ends.
But I saw him watching me. You pretend like you moved on, but you're actually just obsessed with death.
What are you going to do when Michael comes back for you? Because he is coming.
But this time, something feels different.
Ooh. Michael Myers is back for the last time.
For the last time.
This is the last one.
Yeah.
The last one of this newest era. If you follow like the Halloween like sequels and I've seen the diagrams of how they connect mm-hmm. to each other. It is one of the most bizarre things you've ever seen. Like Halloween 2 is no longer canon. Halloween 3 belongs in its own standalone piece. Mm-hmm. Halloween 3 is one of the most bizarre
movies. What does it mean Halloween 2 is no longer canon? Like it's just erased from the story?
Or I more mean like they've now done a remake of Halloween 1 a couple times.
Yeah.
And it's like, so there's multiple timelines, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
And so like, if you watch this one, it's like the first Halloween does still exist, but Halloween 2 does not exist.
Okay.
Oh, so this starts right after Halloween 1 ends, just like Halloween 2 did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's only two movies in the series.
Right. So there's 9 movies, but only 2 count. And then, yeah.
You know, when I watch those movies, I'm just trying to track like, oh, is that neighborhood right by my house over here? Mm-hmm. And then I go, wait, is that one down by Santa Monica? Those bushes look familiar. Like when he goes and hides behind the bush.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all just shot right around here. But there is a purity to the first one, just like the three girls kind of unbeknownst. They don't know what's going on. And
it's so pure. Even like the music and everything is so simple. And even the premise in the filming is just so incredibly simple. Like it seems like it's made with like $1,000, but it gets you.
Was an innocent time. Guy walking around stabbing girls for no reason.
Yeah. Very quaint.
All right.
All right. Coming in at number 4.
Number 4.
Smile.
Yesterday, a patient in your care died brutally in front of you.
I need to find an explanation for what happened.
It's smiling at me.
Sounds like Jack Antonoff in the background.
Oh, yeah. Is that Taylor?
Yeah.
Imagine her version of Halloween. Walking with my friends, standing and following us.
Yeah.
Scream.
Auto-tune. That
would be good. She should do that.
People have been talking about this one. I haven't seen it. The premise didn't really hook me. It seems decent.
I saw it. It's decent. It's like a stock good modern horror, but it feels like a template you've seen a few times.
Was this one involves a place or is it something in the valley or something?
That's
this
scary.
I'm thinking of?
You might be thinking of Barbarian, which is in Bulgaria or is filmed in.
No, what's the one?
Bulgaria.
It has fries. Fries by Burbank.
We say Bulgaria on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, Bulgaria. Yeah. Makes it sound more like Transylvania.
Yeah, for sure.
Exotic.
Sounds like a disease.
Nope. Isn't Nope take place at a Fries in Burbank or something?
Oh, maybe. I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's in Fries. Yeah, for sure.
It's just all in Fries.
Yeah, all of it.
By the way, I'm being serious, though.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's the one in Burbank, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. The UFO crashed into the front.
Speaking of RIPs, RIP Fry's Electronics, especially that one in Burbank.
But it's gone now?
Oh, yeah. Fry's is all shut down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which sucks.
That's the end of an era.
The Fry's in Palo Alto, California is one of my like happiest places on earth.
What was the theme up there?
It was a weird country western theme. And it made no sense. And it was one of the wildest places to walk into.
Yeah.
Just the layout of everything, the sheer amount of employees who are just kind of wandering around.
Oh, yeah.
From places like, I mean,
trying to figure out what it was. Like, I'm from the East Coast. I was like, what is this? Like, there'll be like movie sets in there, you know, like
movie
army
sets.
Jeep crashed and barrels everywhere, but then
we'll
like,
never have a place like that again.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's like 10 feet away from like electric nose hair clippers and razors.
Right.
And it's like, it's just all so shoved in there.
So shoved in. They have everything. I mean, like every little component
The first ones to put out like displays for like video games like back in the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it all cool.
With the like broken controllers.
Fuck yeah.
Then you walk down some slimy aisle and it's like 700 like cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's like little army men glued
just,
on.
Just out.
And then there would be like, there would be about 900 feet of impulse buy aisles. Like once you entered the aisle to actually buy your stuff,
yeah,
you're in a whole nother, like three convenience stores. Oh, worth
yeah. Magazines,
of stuff to buy.
Candy. Yeah. Yeah, you got all those decisions. In
you're
there.
Winding around. Like you got a full yeah. DVD.
It
selection
breaks down your well line. Until you just walk out with things purchased.
Right.
Yeah. But they don't let you walk out until someone checks your receipt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. They got to check that receipt.
Hey, I got this. I don't know if you could see it.
No.
Is that a boombox?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got that at Fry's, baby.
Nice. Oh, nice. Just,
you know when they would like, you're walking down that big aisle where there's actually some space, but then they yeah. take like 200 of those radios in boxes and just yeah. stick them all together just, like an island?
Just a mountain of them.
I pulled that off there. It winds up being the greatest boombox ever. It's got nice. The best oh, nice. Buttons on it. I have three copies of it.
Yeah, nice. They'll offer you that boombox as if it was a pack of gum. Like something yeah. you might just want last
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, grab on the way out. Box yeah. man. Yeah. Crazy.
But and then yeah, they have the forbidden porno DVDs section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know
leave
that.
You hanging on that one. Yeah, we both leave you hanging. Oh, yeah. That's
oh, yeah.
You
you're
got.
Like, oh, weird. Yeah. I never saw that.
Imagine going to Fry's for porno. Like, it's yeah. like. Everything else, like everything else in the world is
yeah,
you walk in there and then you just walk to the register with one DVD, yeah,
one porno behind a family.
Like, yeah,
go to Odyssey Video or something where everyone there is a perv. Like, don't right. go to Fry's where you'll stick out.
You're giving them your phone number your for receipt. Your membership and stuff. Yeah. Oh, you've got yeah, reward check. Points. I see.
Right on.
I will.
You
say
also
the,
like a chocolate Diet Coke. They sell those weird flavors up the front.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the sincere nostalgia I have for like finding video games in Fry's is something I feel like people won't have anymore, and it makes me sad. Like the kind of weird lottery system of walking in there and just seeing like. The weirdest selection of PC games or whatever.
Totally.
Right.
And something you've never thought of before that just looks cool and right. you know, getting it. It's
like, you get sold by the box.
Yeah. It's probably for the best. Kids have so many distractions these days. We need to limit the things that they want to buy.
Yes. Right. Yes.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Pray for the Devil.
These sessions are mandatory for all staff, Sister Anne. My mother struggled with depression.
Annie, honey, can I come in?
But even as a child,
I haven't heard much about this one.
I know, this is my first time hearing about it.
I think what's I saw one trailer.
Pray for the
Pray
Devil.
For the Devil.
P-R-E-Y.
Oh.
You are Pray for the Devil.
Very in different response, movie.
In response to a global rise in demonic possessions, the Catholic Church reopens exorcism schools to train priests in the rite of exorcism.
Nice.
Whoa. Okay,
so it's just like, you know, another exorcist.
But, yeah, but that sounds cool.
Always cool. Always good fodder.
There's always someone who doesn't believe it, and they're always wrong.
Right.
It really is the devil in there.
Yeah. I feel like they should make a like the modern like progressive version of this would be where the whole Catholic Church, like the real history of exorcisms is very likely that they're just tormenting these poor kids with like cognitive problems, you know.
Yeah, some of them die like, in the exorcism.
Exactly, yeah. And you're like, and all the premise of all these movies is that that's totally valid and totally real, and the Catholic Church is trying to do the right thing.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be a. I don't think that would sell as many tickets, though.
Probably not.
I'm getting my elevator pitch has just died.
Okay, so we torture handicapped people.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like the role reversal, the villain of the story.
Yeah.
Are these old priests?
Right on. I mean, why not? I mean, they do have Christian movies at the cinema. There might as well be some like straight up satanic stuff.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
indicts them.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Ticket to Paradise. Clooney Roberts.
The rom-com movie is back.
I'm sorry. I think your things are in my seat. Oh,
sorry.
Oh, come on.
You've got to be kidding me.
Excuse me, ma'am. I need to sit somewhere else. We used to be married.
Worst 19 years of my life.
We were
Mama told me not to come.
Our daughter's going to marry again. This is the scariest movie so far.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, seriously.
Sitting next to your ex-wife on a plane. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what this is about. I don't even care. It's Clooney. It's Roberts. Even just hearing him in my ears, like butter sliding down my ears.
Are you soothed by this?
I gotta have the chemistry.
I mean, were they, you loved them in Ocean's 11?
Yeah. Sure did. And Ocean's 12.
And 12. Were they together in another movie?
I think so.
Intolerable Cruelty. No, that's Zeta Jones.
Hmm.
Maybe we'll see more of this.
Yeah.
Maybe as they age together, they'll continue to meet cute at different, 75, 80, right. 85. Why not?
I wonder if there's any
Nicholson got together. Those were some geriatric sparks as well.
Geriatric sparks. It's a good band name.
Yeah.
Speaking of bands, it reminds me of those old revival tours, where all these bands that used to kind of compete or be, they're all on the same bill.
Same tour, yeah.
Right. It's like, I wonder if there's any.
40 years ago, it'd be the most incredible concert ever held.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now it's like, the one guy and then some of his nephews. Yeah. Like some guys in the band are like 25.
Right. Yeah. Hired guns.
Yeah.
I saw Herman's Hermits like that, like at some point in the 90s.
Wow.
And even at that time, I was like laughing. I was like pretty young and I liked their music a lot, but like it was Peter Noon, of course. But then I remember laughing because the bassist had this like purple bass and this long, beautiful, like brown hair. Mm. And it was like this young hired gun.
Can I tell you what's incredible about that? One of my first guitar teachers when I was a kid, he had to leave because he was going off to be in Herman's Hermits.
No way.
Nice.
Yes.
What if that was him?
It might have been him, or they might just be the perfect poster child band for just always having.
I always want to be one of those guys. I like imagine myself as like a substitute rock star one of these days.
What band would you be?
Probably like Interpol or something like that.
Oh, damn. That's
Black
cool.
Black Party, something like that.
The new guy.
Actually, I want to be the bassist for the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs. That's what I want to do.
Oh, damn. There's going to be an aughts package tour that I bet you could get involved in.
Oh, of course.
You'll be at the Universal Amphitheater, Interpol.
You'd have a look on stage with the bass in your hands.
I could be Carlos D. People would finally be like, "Oh, this guy's pretty good, actually." Carlos B.
Right on,
Carlos B.
No drop off, man.
You know what was weird about the
drop B? Am I right?
Right. It was weird about the Danny Elfman band was what's his name? Wes Borland is one of the guitarists in from Limp Bizkit.
Are you being serious?
Oh yeah, totally serious.
Wow.
That's awesome.
But the weird thing is he was the most normal guy on stage.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't doing any of his Limp Bizkit costume work, weird eyes. Okay. Spastically dancing around.
He's giving us enough.
I wonder why.
He was in like a button up. He was like Wes Borland, like hired gun
status. Do you think Elfman, now that Elfman's beefed up, he's like, don't pull any shit or I'll just walk over.
Yeah,
probably. He's done so much for us.
He's like, this is Danny Elfman music. Nothing weird. We didn't get doing anything.
I ain't Durst over
weird.
Here dressed as a gym teacher or whatever he's saying now. But then,
yeah, it's just funny. Like this guy who's like having Buckethead up there, but no bucket.
Yeah.
button up shirt.
What if I told you at the height of Limp Bizkit that that guy's next band was going to be Oingo Boingo?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, that tracks, I think.
Yeah, it's not that far off.
Yeah. Oingo Borland.
Yeah. All right. Coming in.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Black Adam.
My son sacrificed his life to save me. His powers.
Not
a gift, but a curse. Born out of rage. So I'm out to them.
Wow. Any interest in this one? Fellas,
no, I'm surprised it's number one. I mean, I'm not super surprised. I mean, congratulations for The Rock. I know there was a lot riding on this for him and for DC. But yeah, I'm tired of superhero movies enough at this point where it's like, you really gotta have a hook for me.
It's gotta look like something different.
Yeah. Give me Scorpion King 2. That's all I want from The Rock right now.
With Brendan Fraser, though.
Didn't he do Scorpion King 2?
Was there
just one?
It was
just
a spinoff called Scorpion King, I think.
Maybe Scorpion King 2 doesn't count anymore. It's like Halloween.
Right. Or The Rock wasn't in it. They did it, but The Rock wasn't in it. So this new one will have The Rock.
You cannot have The Rock in it.
So Black Adam has 40% on the tomato meter.
Wow.
And 90% on the audience score.
That's what you like to see.
So, you know.
Yeah. It's all about the audience score, honestly.
I feel
like when the tomato meter is that low, it like becomes a better movie again when you know the audience score is 90%. You know?
Right.
There's like a weird parabola, a parabola, whatever you guys pronounce it on this podcast.
Yeah, this podcast we call it parabola. Parabola.
Parabola.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like a meat.
A Bulgarian parabola.
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
Ooh, I'm hungry.
What a wild country. Hungary. Hey. Well, what a full slate. What a variety of movies. And made by different people, not just the same person. So how about that? I'm excited to see what we're going to select when we come back with the Hot Picks.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks.
These are the Hot Picks. We'll see if we did better than Spotify, was it?
Yeah, better than T-Swift, basically.
See if we did better than T-Swift.
Yeah.
Also, sorry.
Oh, go for it.
Just remember to check out Tulsa King on Paramount Plus.
Why did I turn that over to you? Your ad goes here.
Your ad goes here. That one stars Sly Stallone as a mobster in Witness Protection.
Oh, okay.
I gleaned that. I'm not sure.
Here we go. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Howard's first pick. This is Shania Twain with a tragic title, Last Day of Summer.
Too late to sleep now. The valley's wide awake. The early train's pulling out. Too hard to come down. The last day of summer and the first kiss on my lover's mouth.
Nice.
There you go. I'll tell you, I'm not sure where she's coming from on that, but one of the reasons I picked it is because on the first Have a Summer album I did, 2012, the last track is called Last Day of Summer. And so we come to Summer's End, The Hounds of Autumn. Like, it's more of, you know, it's more on point about what the last day of summer is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
she pronounced it right.
She did. She did do that.
It sounds like she was shouting you out to me.
Well, she rhymed it with lover, so.
Yeah. So, right on. So, she gets points for that. Or wait, you're saying she didn't.
Yeah, I'm saying, I don't know. There's a debate there.
How did she say lover? Did she say lover? Or did she say lover?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to change both.
Did she mention gum at any point in the song?
There you go. There you go. You better have
giving
your,
rules.
You better have all your summer gum chewed by the last day of summer. You fucked up. But hey, I like that she hasn't put out a song in a long time. She finally does, and she gets the topic. She nails it. We need more songs like that.
Oh wow! I mean, did you think her voice sounded a little weird there, or something?
Yeah,
like computerized?
She's lost the power. I think she's a few prescriptions down the line.
Listen, you get old, you get up, you get it out, you know? You got to shit.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
Is she still with Mutt Lang?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But maybe so.
Maybe they've
retired together up there in Canada.
All right. Well, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is a change of pace from that one. This is my pick. This is Dead Cross with Love Without Love. This is Mike Patton's like thrash project.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I'm interested to see what the mosh pit looks like for that part.
Oh yeah. It's always interesting.
He puts out a lot of albums. Mm-hmm.
He does, yeah. Not as many these days as he did at one point, but Dead Cross has Dave Lombardo from Slayer on drums.
Oh, okay.
Somewhat of a super group there.
Yeah, for sure. Always solid stuff. Always sneaks up on you. I never know it's him. But
oh yeah, he's a chameleon. He can do anything with his voice, and he always does something unexpected in every song. Usually pretty challenging though, like not for everybody. But he's crazy.
He's pushing boundaries still.
Yeah, a wild man.
They had a great drummer. Faith No More, that guy with the dreads.
Oh, yeah. Mike Borland or Bording. Yeah. With the long dreads. Huge snare flams.
Oh, right.
Like that's his big thing.
Yeah.
It just pounds those drums. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Brody's pick. This is CCFX, The One to Wait. Robert Smith.
Yeah, she's like a twisted Robert Smith. Cool. That's some good Halloween stuff too.
Cool.
Yeah, spooky. It's kind of like shoegazy, but poppy, but also like it's actually got a beat.
Happy, upbeat.
Yeah, it's on in my car all the time.
It's right on, cool. Yeah, that's like, good driving music.
Kind of sparse.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a long intro that is like rewarding.
Totally.
Right. Nice slow build.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the vocals, whispery.
Love. I wish I could just whisper talk all the time. How cool would that be? Doing stand up whisper. Whisper talking.
Yeah, whisper set.
It's kind of moaning your stand up.
Yeah, to the opposite of Gottfried.
Right. All right. Coming in at, what is it, number two?
Number two.
This is my second pick. This is Young Fathers with I Saw.
All right.
This is really cool.
I want your shield. I want your weapon. Give me that bulletproof vest. And don't forget, I'm not susceptible to your nonsense. I'm a winner. No need for your charms. No crash into your arms. Handful of coins and a bold dog.
Cool, right?
Yeah. It almost reminds me of whatchamacallit, you know, like the kind of stuff that's coming out of England and, you know, it's like, sounds like old men, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know like you're
threatening
talking
about. You kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely has some of that in there, but it's got its own thing too.
Yeah. Like, that's cool. I've been waiting for them to come out with more stuff. Is that is that Damien or whatever from Gorillaz singing in it? Kind of sounds like
Oh, that chorus?
Yeah.
It does sound a little bit like him.
Sounds like a Gorillaz song, that part.
Yeah. They're from Scotland.
Scotland. Oh. Edinburgh.
Love Scotland.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's almost like there's a lot of like, I don't know what you call monologue-y kind of music coming out. Like with guys just kind of like doing like you know, sounds like monologues over music.
But the front men of these kind of bands, and I don't know if they belong in the same category, but like, especially coming out of the UK, it's like they sound like tough and gritty again.
And, yeah, cockney, and compelling guys, way. Beach up down at the docks kind of guys.
Yeah, it's like cool to hear that.
Yeah, like sound like they're recording into a tape recorder or something. I like
right.
Yeah. Very
and they sound like they got like an authentic, you know, attitude to them.
Well, I was drunk in Amsterdam and I was in the back of a bus and I remember I couldn't really move. And then these like tough British guys there, like, you know, just off on a weekend.
Yeah.
Came in. And I was just remember thinking like, if these guys decide to beat the living shit out of me, there's nothing I can do about it right now.
Oh man, that reminds me actually.
Those guys, hey, what's going on over here? What's going on? Bang on.
Yeah, that's some of the scariest kind of. So like, this characters
had
you can
too
come
much
into.
Bangers and mash or whatever.
Yeah. What's he doing? Oh, he's American, is he?
Oh, let's clean his chimney, ain't we?
I just saw the movie Eden.
English people.
Have you seen Eden Lake, that movie, Brody?
Eden
have you
Lake.
Seen it?
Eden Lake.
Sounds like a puzzle video game. What's that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Eden Lake.
No, it's a horror movie, and the villains. I realized maybe the biggest villains you can have, or the scariest kind of like antagonists you can have, are teenage boys who are kind of just like what you're talking about, like
British boys,
Cockney English teenage boys,
any age,
who are just sociopathic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
Oh, but like, what's that one? The Butcher Boy. Do you ever see that one?
Yeah. No, but I have seen
just fucked up 12-year-old kid over there that was just like, he was just had behavioral problems. He'd like just kill you.
That's the scariest villain you can possibly have.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get through to them at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's what it's like, a gang of boys in the forest that are kind of like exactly what you're describing is English.
Right.
It's because they didn't grow up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Got to have a healthy outlet for stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's kind of like funny.
Would have been a good influence on them.
Exactly.
It's kind of like Funny Games. Funny Games is similar, where it's like these two.
It sounds like Lord of the Flies a little bit, too. I think those were English kids.
That's what happens in a society where you only have the UK office, you know? It's too dark.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if you want a scary movie that just makes you feel bad by the end, that's a good one.
Okay, cool.
It's like, it's dark and fucked up, and it's like, you just... If you like that kind of thing, if you like Funny Games, check it out.
Cool.
Same with
you
Cats,
won't feel good.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
you won't feel good about that either.
That'll scare you.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is a cold pick from Howard. This is Charli D'Amelio with If You Ask Me To.
Saw you at the party, but you wouldn't say a single thing.
Yeah, it's one of these.
Twee girl.
Yeah, this is that chord where it's just like, oh, you know, I'm gonna sing loud real soon.
Sounds exactly like Rodrigo.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hold back my emotions until I don't.
Yeah.
So I'll leave your text on red and hope you're overthinking everything.
Lots of Gen Z references.
Saw me by myself, you said hello and asked if
anyway, so it's one of those tepid, you know,
yeah,
overwrought tunes. But you know, she's the girl who dances on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the girl who just blew up.
She's the main one.
But
yeah, oh yeah, her dad bought her fame, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And then her sister got big. So a lot of, you know, we've seen it with Bad Baby. She became a musical artist, and then who was there was another one who did it. But now, she's getting in on the
Our culture sucks.
You get the fame before you get the idea that I'm going to be a musical artist.
Right.
I mean, it would never made sense years ago.
You get the fame before the hobby.
Yeah.
Well, whoever wrote that song.
Before you even think I could be a singer, you get famous first.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah.
I mean, that sounds literally exactly like Driver's License. Olivia Rodrigo. She's just trying to do the exact same song.
Yeah, there's a rash of it. You know, like after Nirvana came out. Rash?
Yeah.
After Nirvana, there was that rash of Bush and all those bands that weren't as good.
Right.
And it's really going on now with these like Billie Eilish. I mean, just from going to iTunes, like there's just like 10 albums a week where it's a girl who's like saying fuck you to somebody.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
and that voice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be top 10 in any or top 100 in any music category, you've already sold out way before then anyway. It's like, it's the labels who make people famous, really. Anyway, at least it's a good song to listen to, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I like the Olivia Rodrigo, but I have noticed that tone of voice, you know, that we always go through these eras where vocal fry was a big thing for so long, but that's changed now. That is not popular anymore. I'm noticing this sort of very rounded, soft voice.
Pull it back before.
Exactly.
That's what I hear in these Taylor Swift songs. Her voice is just too pure for me personally.
Yeah.
I need a rasp. I need something.
Right. Yeah, I need a Cockney dock worker just spitting something at me.
Honestly,
spitting in my face, drunk.
It's someone who's made some fucked up life decisions, you know? Not Taylor, who's been perfect all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a very particular voice, and it's very round, I want to say, and it's soft. And it's pleasant to listen to. Like, I guess I would prefer it to the vocal fry thing, but it's definitely a trend. Hot trend right now.
It's a vocal fry.
Yeah, it basically sounds like my voice. Rounded. Very, very light.
Yeah.
You know what I'm noticing about vocal fry? That's like when dudes on like dating shows need to like apologize or seem like they like, you know, feel like they fucked up with a girl. They just go,
Melissa. You know.
Yeah, Melissa.
They always say 100%. 100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I made mistakes in the past, but I'm just about us, 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, all I can do is say I'm sorry and try to be better. He's so special to me.
I think he's really changed.
Nah, he showed growth.
Josh has been showing a lot of maturity this season, and I think I'm ready to give him a second chance.
Welcome to paradise.
100%.
Next time on Welcome to Paradise.
Paradise.
Welcome it's really funny in the late. Any of you guys watching Bachelor in Paradise? Because I am.
No,
I have been watching
those,
that one.
Those are all like full this of joke that. To me. Oh man, what's that?
It's
like?
Really funny.
What's your brain like? What's it done to
it's
you?
It's pretty entertaining. Okay. Yeah, but wait, I like so, it so, more so than porn Bachelor Prime.
Porn section of fries and Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, hey, that's where you'll find the DVDs of that.
You want the. Put the magnifying glass on that side of the equation.
Those are the two things I knew about the guy.
I feel like they'd have signing events for both of those things at Fry's Electronics.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In-store performance.
But it's funny this season that they pull a couple newcomers on the beach. You know, they'll like always mix it up and throw in some newcomers that
they mix the legends
cause all this drama. But you know, they'll pull people from past seasons, but this season they'll pull a couple from the Australian version.
Oh wow.
And it's really funny seeing them like come in, and it really seems like weird, like Shelbyville people, you know, like coming in like Oy. They just seem from this other world and they're not accepted. Yeah, they just speak like that.
Well, boy, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
wait,
good picks.
Can I just say that in the Australian fries, there's two sections and they're both oral.
Oral.
Are you looking for oral material?
Fries.
I'm gonna take an Uber order fries.
The best Australian accent I've ever heard.
The best. Shout out to our friends down under. Have a summer.
Oh, yeah, Paul
Have
Gallo.
A summer.
Yeah. And hey, Brody, so fun to have you on. People can, of course, follow you on Instagram and social at A Bro Bro, A Y E Bro Bro.
B R O, B R O. That's right. And, you know, I'm doing shows all the time. Come check me out. I'll drop videos every once in a while. Stuff.
Right on. Check them out live. How about you start?
Yeah, check out Play It By Ear on Dropout TV. Check out Comedy Bang Bang World. Sign up. And and go to whochartedpod.com. Support us. Pick a tier.
Check it out. Tell your friends.
Charted every week.
There you go. Grab all the preem streams back there. And I mean, we talked last week on Too Charted about cringe cunch, like cringy country music.
Oh, that was so good.
A lot about that. That was fun. There's
that cool ranch
in there. Cool ranch. Is that a real song?
No. Well, maybe. It's just a flavor. Honestly, it needs to be.
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe that music, though. Cool ranch.
Cool ranch. On Too Charted, a chartist wrote to us and said, we missed a song. We always talk about this cringe country. We missed a prime selection that he shared with us. And oh boy, it was amazing. It's called Dick Down in Dallas.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Dick Down in Dallas. Check that out.
Yeah.
That's some bro country for you for sure.
Yeah.
Also, check out haveasummer.com/shop. Pick up on Austin Stories DVD. Check out Griftors and Drop Date Duel. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.